Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you, radio listeners, once again. This is your pastor, Pastor Ono Starling, with the Anointed Word Ministry. I pray that all is well with you and yours today. I thank God for allowing me to be able to come before you today with the Word of God, knowing that everything is going down except the Word of God. And today I just feel blessed just to be one, praise God, and be able to come forth and just talk about the Word of God and just expound on the Word of God, because I know that is life in the Word. I pray that you are all as well with you and your family. I pray, praise God, that you've learned, praise God, through the messages, praise God. We invite you to tell others about the message. Go ahead and listen to the messages. Let it be a blessing to you, because the Word tells me to allow you to know that the Word will not go out void, but it will go out and accomplish that in which it has been spoken. And I speak the Word to you today, that life comes to you through the Word. If you care to send in your prayer request, you may send them, praise the Lord, to olastarling@gmail.com. olastarling@gmail.com. And we will pray over those prayer requests concerning the things that you bring before the Lord. Well, today, praise God, I just say, Father, I thank you, God, that your word will go forth, God, and God, that it will go forth and it will be edifying for those that are listening and for the hearer, that they may grab hope, praise God, and know that hope is yet alive. And know, praise God, that you, praise God, are working on their behalf. Father, I give you glory, I give you honor, and I do give you praise. Forgive us, Father God, for every iniquity, every sin, and every shortcoming. And I ask it to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. And today, praise God, we're just going to go into the Word. We're going to continue talking about the journey. And today we are going to journey through the blood of Jesus. Okay, the blood of Jesus. And when I say the blood, this has nothing to do with any kind of a cult, because most time, praise God, when people speak of blood, everybody's eyes go up, oh, it's an occult. No, sweetie, I'm talking about the blood of Jesus, the living blood, the blood of deliverance, the blood that saves, the blood that sets free, and the blood that gives eternal life. Praise the Lord. And today we're talking about the blood and journeying through the blood of Christ. Now, the question comes up, what does the blood of Jesus do for us? Well, I can answer that. It does many things for us. Many things. When I say many things, I mean because of the act of the atonement for our sins, it is the shedding. You see, it's in the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, death. Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh, in a mortal body. And since God could not die for us, he needed to take upon himself a human body to die for the sins of the world. That's what the blood of Jesus did for us. Now, not only that, but the blood of Jesus is so vital, praise God, to our salvation, that there is no way, listen to me good, there is no way that you and I could have been saved apart from the shedding of the blood of Jesus. Now, if there's any organization, any church, or any ministry, praise the Lord, that want to use any other doctrine that minimizes the blood of Jesus Christ, literally that he shed it on Calvary for us, and try and substitute it with his mere death or with wine, is just heretic. It's not even, you know, it shouldn't even be discussed, because we know it's more to it than that. But the blood of Jesus, I'm talking about the blood, it remitted our sin. So what are you saying, Pastor Starling? In Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood, he said, of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. To remit sins is to remove them. He removed them from us. Just like John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He took them away when he shed his blood for them. Mm-hmm. He took them away. And I hear the question you asked him, but we're going to get to that. Then he said, then he purchased the church. What church did he purchase? He didn't purchase a church with the fine pews and the plush carpet and the nice seats, all seats. He purchased you on the church. He purchased you with the blood. Acts 20 and 28 states, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. He didn't say the church, the building. Over the which the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Ghost means something you can't see, but you know it's there, and you feel it, and you know the presence of it, has made you overseers to feed the church of God. To feed who? The church of God. The church of God is the people of God. And when he had purchased it, what did? Which he had purchased his blood. Did you notice that the blood of Jesus shed it to purchase the church was God's blood? Indeed, it was God manifested in the flesh. Yes, the Bible declared that he took on the form of flesh. It was manifested in the flesh. And since he purchased it for us, he purchased it for us. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, then we are to do those things what? That glorify him, not man. Things that glorify God. You see? Then he went about, he said, propitiate. It's called propitiate. Then it means that the Romans 3 and 25, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation. Propitiation means through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are what? Not the past. Through the forbearance of God. Propitiate means to appease, to appease. And to appease means to each one of us before we were saved. It means each one of us before we were saved, we was under the wrath of God. We was under a heavy burden. We was under heavy, heavy, heavy sin. But when Jesus died for the sins of the world, it appeased. Meaning that each one of us, he did it for us. He shed his blood. He removed his sins. And he don't remember them anymore. And then the word says in John 3 and 36, when we put on the faith in the shedding of what? The blood of Jesus, the wrath of God was appeased. And we were saved from his wrath. Appeasing means I got to get this away from them because it's going to destroy this. So I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take this. I'm going to walk with this. I'm going to do for them what they could not do for themselves. And then he justified us. After he did that, he cleansed us, he washed us, he purged us, and then he justified us. And he justified us in Romans 5 and 9, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him who? Jesus. To be justified by Jesus' blood means essentially that we have already, now listen to me good, see, we have already been tried for our sins and found not guilty. You see, people may come back and try to tell you about your past, but see, don't tell me about my past because I don't remember and neither does my father because he already has taken that away. He appeased it. Appeased, okay? He took it. He don't remember it. So why should I remember it? He took it away. It means that's what the word says. It means to be justified by what? Jesus' blood means essentially that we have already been tried for our sins and found not guilty. And since he bore them in his own body on the tree and paid for them totally, he didn't put a down payment on it. He paid it off. He paid them off. He owed them nothing for your sins, sweetie. Your sins have been paid for. What you need to do now is get into the habit of glorifying God and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we sin, we have someone we can go to say, God, forgive me, for I have sinned it. He's not like man. He won't throw it up in your face. Remember when you was out there in the world and you was in your mess and in your sin? I mean, he don't do that. When you go to him and you repent of your wrongdoing, he hears you then. And he forgives you and he moves on. It's just a man don't want you to forget your sin to try to hold it over you. Thank you, Jesus. It's just man just want to keep bringing your past to your page. But the Bible tells me, I used to tell my kids all the time, you never get to your future looking back in your past. Press on. Press on. And he said, in the tree he paid the total price. 2 Peter 2:24. After he paid that price, he redeemed us. In Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his glory. As sinners, we were children of who? Of the devil himself. In 1 John 3:10, by shedding his blood, Jesus bought us back from the devil. Yes, we were devil children. Yes, we were. We were there. But he paid the price. He bought us back from the devil and made us God's children. John 1:12. Know who you're involved with. Know the purpose of the blood. And it makes us nigh. Because Ephesians 2:13 said, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off are made nigh. Mean near to me by the blood of Christ, because we were saved, not going to be. Listen to this. We were saved. We were separated from the covenant of the promise that God had made with Israel, and we had no hope in the world, and we were without God. When we were saved, listen to this. The blood of Christ brought us into the covenant of the promise and drew us near to God, whom we were without. But if you've been saved and you have been bought with the price, the blood of Jesus, you were saved. You're not a sinner no more. You're not a sinner no more. You have an owner now. Yes. And giving us hope for the first time in our life, we had hope. You're talking about you need hope. You have hope. He gave that to you 2,000 years ago. And in our lives, he gave it to us in Romans 8:24. Then after he gave us that, then he said, let's make peace now. Peace, makes peace. He makes peace with us. In Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood. All this is happening in the blood. Because without the blood, guess what? There is no life. If all of your blood was drained from your body right now, you are no longer alive. You're dead. You cannot live without the blood. There is life in the blood. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And having but made peace through the blood of his cross, what cross? Jesus Christ. By him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth, or things in the heaven, we were without peace as wicked sinners. But then Isaiah 48:22 said, but after Jesus shed his blood, we were saved. We are at peace with God, having been reconciled, yes, to him by Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this was done through the blood. These are the many things that the blood do for us. Then he purges. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to us without a spot to God, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our conscience before was saved with evil. Hebrews 10:22. Having been defiled. In Titus 1:15, and he smeared my sins. He sheared my sins. 1 Timothy 4:2, but after each of us received Jesus, we could plead the blood, and God would apply it, okay, to our conscience to purge it from those old sins and clean us up You can't plead the blood if you have not been, if you have not been cleansed and then turn yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no sin you can't plead in the blood. The blood is for those that have come to him and accepted his death. And it's become a part of him. You say he cleaned up the country. He purged it from those old sins and cleaned it up. Well, by giving us, you see, a good conscience. 1 Peter 3:16. Now anything, you see, anytime you are troubled, come on somebody, by those old sinful works, don't let people put that on you. I remember when, I don't remember when. I have a little Alzheimer's when it comes to that. I don't remember that. What are you talking about? My conscience has been cleaned up and sneezed. He shared mine. He sealed it. Nobody can get in because he cleaned it up. I'm a new creature now. Those old sinful works, just plead the blood over them and ask God to purge your conscience, to keep it clean so that you may serve him and not the old things of the old law and of the old devil. Ask God to clean, just to give you, allow you to do that. Then we get to do that with you. Guess what he do? He's going to sanctify. He sanctifies, yes. Sanctify? What are you talking about, sanctify? I thought I would know you got to go through the process because we're going through the journey. That's certain steps you must take. And then he said he sanctifies. In Hebrews 13 and 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. That was his desire, that I may sanctify the people with my own blood. Suffered without, He suffered out without the gate. To sanctify means to clean a person up and to set them apart. I am set aside and set apart. Yes, yes. And set them apart that they may be used for God. God don't clean you up to be used for man. And many times, praise God, we as saints of God in the church, we think we're doing something for God. You better question that thing and make sure you're doing what you're doing is for God and not for man. You better think. And make sure you're doing it for God and not man. That's what the word declares. Be not men pleasers, but that what you do, work unto God. Whatever I do it for Jesus. Let it be real. People with their own, he said he sanctified the people with his own blood. He suffered without the gate. To sanctify means to clean up a person and to set him apart that he may be used for who? Not for you, man. Not for you, woman. Not for you, evangelist, apostle, to my carry my clothes and I'm your good. No nonsense. No nonsense. That ain't got nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Carry my clothes and carry my shoes. That's just something you want to do. You better know what to do, and all these works is dead works. He said to sanctify them to be clean, a clean of a person, and to set them apart for the work of the Lord to be used by God. That happens to you because of the blood of what? Of Jesus. That's what happens to you. You're using that because you're set aside for the work of the Lord. The blood of Jesus. And what else could a former murderer or Christian being used by God to write much more of the New Testament? Yes, because see one thing about it. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, the old things are passed away. You see, the Bible says God said he will forgive every man for every sin. Every sin can be forgiven. And these are people that God had used, that had done these things back in the day. Praise God, look at David. David was a murderer. David was a wife snatcher. My God, David was a whole lot of things, but God used him. He used him. These men, today we are reading about these men that God used. See, people want to look at what they've done in their past, but Jesus saw the good in the man and he saw what he can use him for. And he was used for the goodness of God. Then he cleansed it. From 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Listen to me again. all sin. Not some, but all. Each time you sin, your body and your spirit are made filthy, okay? Your soul is not affected. Because of the forgiveness of Jesus and the new birth by the Spirit. Therefore, listen to me good, you have to have a way to cleanse your flesh and your spirit from its filthiness. And 2 Corinthians 6, 7 and 1, the blood of Jesus Christ is what God has given us to take care of that very problem. You got a problem you're going through? Put in the blood. You got one, say, God, you can't, you don't turn your affection from a woman to a man and a man to a woman. Put it in the blood. Fornication, put it in the blood. Dishonesty, put it in the blood. Lying tongue, put it in the blood. Yeah. Put it in the blood. Hatred, put it in the blood. Come on. Jealousy, put it in the blood. What you say? Put it in the blood. Everything that you have, praise God, that is not appeasing and that's not a good look to God, put it in the blood. You can't deal with it. You got a problem, addiction, put it in the blood. Let the blood take care of it. The blood can do it. The blood clean, the blood deliver, the blood save, the blood set free. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. He takes care of that. Yes. Then he takes that, praise God, up. He said it. He said, He washes you. Yes. Revelation 1 and 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loveth us and watches us from our sins in his own blood. The blood is a cleanser. Honey, what the detergent couldn't get out, the blood sin is spotless. God promised in Isaiah 1 and 18 that though your sin be, he recognized it. As what? Scarlet. They shall be white as snow. The thing that makes them white, that washes them, is the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The blood washes, the blood cleanses, the blood saves, the blood delivers, the blood set free. Oh, Jesus. Yes. There is power in the blood. So you can see, praise God, from the scriptures, that the blood of Jesus is indispensable. Without it, we could not be saved. We could not be saved. And we could not enjoy the benefits of salvation on this side of glory. Because we have to realize, praise God, that the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, without a shadow of a doubt, the blood of Jesus is the most precious gift our Heavenly Father has ever given to us, to his church. What church? You, your body, your temple. And yet so many Christians don't understand its value and its virtue. Christians often, they sing about it, the power of the blood, oh, the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. But most believers seldom enter into the power of that blood. Come on, somebody. Oh, I know I'm talking good today. Yes. That enter into that power of that blood. They don't want to mention it. They don't realize the power is in the blood. We simply do not comprehend the great significance of the blood. We constantly plead the blood as some kind of mysterious form of protection. But few Christians can explain its great glory and its benefit. Can't do it. Sanctifies me, washes me, purifies me, it remitted all my sins. We simply do not comprehend the great significance of the blood. And if I were to ask today, what does the power of the blood mean? You might answer, it means that my sins were remitted. And that's true. But that I am free from the bondage of iniquity, that all my sins are covered, yet beyond forgiveness. What does the blood of Jesus Christ mean to you? Can you explain it to your family, to your coworkers, the value and the virtue of the blood? And this is why, praise God, I thank God and praise this in my spirit to give a, praise God, discussion on what is the blood, journeying through the blood. You see, because in some blood, there are some things that get into the blood that defiles the whole body. Yes, if it gets into your bloodstream as a natural person, your blood is defiled. This is why they talk about AIDS, because once it gets into your system and the bloodline, that's it. It gets into the bloodline because, why? There's life in the blood. Huh. Thank you, Father. But yet, beyond forgiveness, what does the blood of Jesus mean to you? And this is why, praise God, I'm talking about the virtue and going through the journey, going through the journey, knowing the journey that you take. It will take you, praise God, to the ends of the ends of the world. The blood of Jesus. You see, praise God, in the scripture, the blood is spoken of in two ways, the blood shed and the blood sprinkled. Most Christians don't know about the blood of Jesus that shed it for us. But when Christ lifted the cup at the last Passover, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Luke 22 and 20. Now, we can memorize that, praise God, because his sacrifice, you know, every time we have communion, that's what we do. But is that the kind of limit of the most Christian knowledge about the blood of Jesus? We know only about the blood being shed and not about it being sprinkled. He sprinkled the blood. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because without the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat, and when he sprinkled the blood, praise God, for those, praise God, that was in exile in Pharaoh's time, it was deliverance and freedom. He brought them out of bondage. Because the first biblical experience that we talk about in the sprinkling of the blood is in Exodus 12 and 22. When the Israelites were commanded to take a bunch of the hyssop and dip it in the blood and wipe it on the doorpost of the door. See what I mean? They did it. They dipped it in the blood of the slain lamb. And they sprinkled it on what? On that doorpost. On the two sides and on the front of the door. And that night, when the death angel came and saw the blood on the doorpost, he was passed over. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. He will pass over your house. Death didn't stop at that house because the blood of Jesus was sprinkled on the doorpost, on the front and the back, on the side and the top of the doorpost. Yes. He sprinkled it. But don't get me wrong, now, please understand. As long as the blood was left in the basin, it was of no effect. It was merely just blood that had been what shed it. You got to use the blood to know the power of the blood. You must know what the blood is there for. Not for just the shedding, but for the sprinkling, for the recognizing. The blood over your daughter, the blood over your, sprinkle it over your children, sprinkle it over your family, over your home, over your wife. Thank you, Jesus. Know what it's used for. It's just not only used for the strip of the shedding, there was some sprinkling. But then you say, why could Israelite have simply laid the basin of blood at the threshold and said, it doesn't matter what we do with it. After all, blood is blood. No. Suppose they had put the basin on a linen covered table, on a, you know, a pastel just inside the bed. I tell you what would have happened. The death angel would have struck that house. My friend, my people, listen to me. No, praise God. Study. Get in there and seek and find out what is in the blood. There is life in the blood. There is deliverance in the blood. And as long, praise God, as we learn, praise God, not to just lift the blood out of the basement of the basin, but sprinkle it on the door to fulfill its purpose and its protection. The blood is there for your use. I pray, God, that you are blessed today. I am happy in my spirit. I thank God for you listening. And praise God, I pray that you are blessed from the word today. And until this time, praise God, that God would allow me to come back before your front again. We will continue with the, praise God, the journey through the blood. Because remember, my friend, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Yes. And I'd like for you, praise God, to continue, praise God, lifting us up in prayer that God's word will go forth with power, demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and that you will be blessed. Tell others about the broadcast, because it's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about Jesus journeying through the blood of Jesus. And until this time, praise God, I want you to be blessed. Keep me in your prayers. I pray for you. Father, I thank you, Father God, for allowing each and every one that has heard the word today to be blessed, to be blessed. I thank you. You have a blessed day. Goodbye.